Pastor Jeff on why we sometimes find ourselves in trouble.
God allows us to sometimes get into a fix. Why? To fix us. So he allows us to get into these compromises, and he just lets us go into them. Why? There's lessons to be learned. You're not going to learn any other way.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Let me ask you, do you have loved ones who are in trouble because of compromise, tolerating sin, or partnering with the wrong people, and now they're in a fix? What can God do? What does God's Word say? Well, stick around and find out on today's Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. When you're in a fix, God can fix it and us. That's the lesson of the day as we turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Before we go there, Pastor Jeff begins with a bit of review.
Second Chronicles chapter 19. And this is just a continuance of chapter 18 because of what has happened. Let me remind you what is going on here and what has taken place. Ahab, remember that wicked king who married Jezebel, who is a wicked queen, one of the darkest women in all of the Bible, asked Jehoshaphat to come from the south and to have a barbecue with him. And he kind of won him over. And he said, you know what? If we get together, we can really take these guys that have taken some of our property, and we can go against them. We can go to war. And already Jehoshaphat has experienced a tremendous amount of peace. This brother was sharing the word, making sure that everybody got the word, went around and made sure that everybody understood what the Bible says. He dealt with the evil in the land as far as the south. He cleansed it. There's a reform going on. There's revival taking place. So what happens? Well, he knows the guy's wicked, and he's unequally yoked, right? So he goes with him, and they go to this battle, and he gets set up. You remember. He gets set up, and the king says, I'm going to wear these clothes, but I want you to wear my clothes, Jehoshaphat. You're king of the south. They won't do anything to you. Just wear my cloak, you know, bright purple or whatever. And so when the Syrian guard, they got together and they said, find that guy with that purple robe on, and that's their king. I want him. Don't fight anybody else. Just go for the king and wipe him out. Just destroy him. So you remember what happened. They're out in the midst of the battle, and all of a sudden, he's surrounded. Jehoshaphat with the purple robe on. He's surrounded with these guys, and they're coming in on him. And remember, he cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord heard his cry. But I can't get past Jehoshaphat and his compromise. I can't get past that he knew better. I can't get past that he allowed this relationship to continue to the point of losing the battle. So not only did Ahab get killed in this battle, which was interesting because when he got killed, a prophecy was fulfilled. Remember, we went back to Kings and we saw in 1 Kings 22, 37 and 38 that there was a prophecy saying that he would die in battle, just like he took a guy out. His name was Naboth. Jezebel wanted his land. He had a nice, great piece of land, a lot of vegetation on it. She goes, I want that. We'll buy it from you. Naboth said, no way. I'm not selling it. It's for all my kids and grandkids. I'm going to let them inherit it. It's a beautiful piece of land. I know that. No, we want it. Hey, come on. We're the king and queen. You got to give it to us. No way. So he said, no. So Ahab went home and cried on his wife's shoulder. And she goes, honey, I'll get it for you. Don't worry about it. And she went over there and just killed the guy. And the very spot where he died, a prophecy was given that where Naboth's blood was drained out, on that very spot, Ahab, your blood is going to be licked up by the dogs as Naboth's blood was. Guess what? Ahab got killed. Remember the arrow? The guy just shot. I got one more arrow. I'm just going to... And he shoots it. And it was the first, one of the first guided missiles. I know David and his stone was definitely a guided missile also. But this arrow, he just took it and put it right into the midst of everybody. And guess who he hit? He hit the guy with the camouflage on, the guy that was Ahab, the king of the north. And it went right in between the armor. See, the armor was there to protect him from arrows. But it went in between the armor and took him out. He wrestled for quite a while. He eventually bled out. And they got him out of the battlefield and they took him. And then they brought him to a spot. Interesting. It was the very spot where Naboth's blood was licked up by the dogs. And they started to squirt out his chariot and get all the blood out. And there's dogs coming around and they're licking his blood. I mean, it's amazing prophecies that take place that God says will happen and they happen. So why chapter 19 now, as we get in here, what is this all about? See, it's not the end of the story. You think God is just going to let Jehoshaphat go free and just go on as nothing has happened? No. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. There's no free pass. And so this is dealing now with Jehoshaphat and his compromise. And this is really trying to get his attention what he had done. Not only did he lose the battle. Oh, he went home all right. They lost the battle. And that was humbling, but he was connected with an evil guy. God doesn't want him to forget that. Now, we know that, praise God, all things work together. Romans 8:28, right? For the good, for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And yes, God did hear Jehoshaphat cry out. And yes, God stopped those guys from killing him. And he let him go home. The amazing grace and mercy of God, right? But does that mean that God just totally forgot about it? No. The lesson needs to be learned. Isn't it interesting? This happened not before he got with Ahab. God allowed him to get with Ahab. God allows us to sometimes get into a fix. Why? To fix us. So he allows us to get into these compromises and he just lets us go into them. Why? There's lessons to be learned. You're not going to learn any other way. Oh, you could, you know, say, no, you better not do that. You better not do that. You know, and warn them, warn them, warn them, warn them. But, you know, until you really experience it yourself, you know, it's like with my kids and my grandkids. Guys, you know who we are. You know what we do. You know the testimony. You know the glory of God. You've heard the stories. And yet, they got to go out and do it. It's crazy, isn't it? But we as parents have that promise. If we seek to raise them in the ways of the Lord, when they are older, they won't depart. They will return. Prodigals will come home. That's our hope. And that's awesome. That's God's promise. Stand on it, parents. But our kids got to learn their lesson. We all have to learn the lesson. And many times, God lets us get into it to really let us experience it totally. And man, he was out there. And when he saw those guys coming in on him, he was crying out to God, man. Oh, God, you know my heart. You know who I am. Deliver me from this thing. God was so merciful to deliver him. And notice in chapter 19, Jehoshaphat sort of is now going to come to his senses. He goes home, and in verse 1, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house. Notice, in peace. I just got all kinds of hope when I read that because Jehoshaphat was such a compromiser. He didn't care. He knew God knew, and he just went and did it anyhow. And he was so naive, as the king of the north is putting on a costume to, you know, camouflage himself. He gives him the king's purple robe. Oh, thank you, king. Maybe he had a lot of pride, huh? Maybe he said, hey, man, I'm wearing his robe, man. They're going to think I'm the guy. Oh, be careful. Haughty spirit comes before a fall. Pride goes before destruction. But he cried out. But notice, God let him return to his home. Not just return to his home, but return to his home in peace. Remember Philippians 1:6? He that has begun a good work in you, what? Will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God loved Jehoshaphat. He was his kid. Are you his kid? He loves you with an everlasting love. Even if you compromise, even if you get in trouble, lesson learned. Is that what you want to do? You want to go to another lesson and then another lesson? Oh, no, I had my fill of those. He's got my undivided attention now because I've learned my lesson so many times. And sometimes we've got to go back and learn it again. Hit the wall. But he went back to Jerusalem. And Jehu, who was the seer, Jehu's an old dude. He's been around for 35 years. He's been prophesying. This guy goes around, shares the word of God. He was up in the north, but he now is dealing down in the south with Jehoshaphat. He comes down there. He went out to meet him as he came in. And he said to the king, to King Jehoshaphat, listen, king, should you help the ungodly? And should you love them that hate the Lord? Because you have done these things, therefore is wrath upon you before the Lord. God's angry with you, Jehoshaphat. Look what you've done. And what were you doing trying to help that man who is worse than a Canaanite? Oh, but no, he's a Jew. He's up in the north. He's one of God's... No, he's not. You think when a man is walking in sin, loving a sin, doing a sin, that we're to love them? Well, we love the sinner, don't we? We hate the sin. But to love the sin, to compromise with sin, that's not what we're to be doing. He was God's enemy. Now, I know we're to help and we're to do good. We're to pray for those that despitefully use us. To pray for a sinner is one thing, but to pray for somebody that hates God, who for the very thing that they, you don't pray for them. You just move along. Do you love them? Oh, you just love that guy that's just hating God and spewing out sin and ruining people's lives and stuff. Oh, he just sells drugs. It's all right. Oh, he just wants to join ISIS. It's okay. You just love them, man. No, you pray for them and you seek to witness to them, to draw them to the word and to the gospel. But, oh, Jehoshaphat, should you help the ungodly guy that just hates God? They hate the Lord. This is our generation. Mamby-pamsy, lovey-dovey, tolerance. We tolerate. That's us. Does that mean we're to hate them? No, we hate the sin. You got to get it. Interesting. Over in Psalm 139, listen to what the psalmist says in verse 21, Psalm 139, 21. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate you? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against you? Do you know what Ahab is about? Do you know what he was doing to the people? Do you know how he brought in just the groves and just the sin within the camp? I mean, the orgies, the stuff that he allowed them to just go for and get into. He was unequally yoked. He was a Jew married to a pagan, heathen, evil woman. And they did a lot of damage. And here comes Jehoshaphat. I'm a child of God. I love the Lord. Oh, Ahab, what's up? Hey, I just want you to, come on, bro. come with me. We can deal with these guys. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Where are you at? And then he says, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies, the psalmist says. Jesus went into the temple and he saw them. Again, they were ripping the people off. Enemies of God in the holy temple. He took out and he made a whip. And he went through that whole temple area and cleaned it out. Drove everybody out. Turned over the tables. He had that righteous indignation against those that would abuse God's people and rip them off and hate. You know, he hated what they were doing to God. You got to be careful, though. Jesus, I don't think he was in the flesh at all. It's Jesus, God incarnate. He was making a demonstration. He was saying something in what he was doing. Hopefully they got the message. This house is not a den of thieves. It's a place of prayer. And he tried to drive it home. He did it twice, you know. Amazing. They didn't even lay a hand on him. Those who won't repent, who love their sin. Listen to this. This is in 2 John 10 and 11. Way back in 2 John, verse 10 and 11. He says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. In other words, they come to your house and they're bringing in their JW stuff or their Mormon stuff or whatever. Don't, hey, bro, what's up? Man, come in and have a cup of coffee. And just close the door. They won't be back. They'll put your house as a house not to go to because they won't receive you. Don't even wish them, God bless you. Oh, gosh. But then he goes on, for he that biddeth him Godspeed and say, oh, God bless you, is a partaker of his evil deeds. Whoa. I mean, remember over in Romans chapter, I just thought of this one, Romans 16. In verse 17, now I beg of you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Stay away from them. You don't get into a compromise situation with that individual. Well, but he looks so, he's so handsome. He's got a good job. And he knows a lot of people. He's in with the in crowd. Okay. Is he in love with Jesus? And is he in love with Jesus more than you're in love with Jesus? Oh, he doesn't even care about the things of God. Okay, marry him. Have fun. Because after a while, it's gonna take you down. God says, don't do it. Because if you do, they'll take you away from me. He is a jealous God. He won't share us with anybody. He loves us so much. So he tries to protect us by giving us his word. And for us to take it to heart and live it and obey it. Verse 3. But Jehu is saying, you know, okay. I asked you that question and he knew exactly what he was saying. And then he says, well, nevertheless, I know you're a good man. You did a lot of good things. There are good things found in you in that you have taken away the groves out of the land. I mean, there's good stuff that he did. But I'll tell you something. Peter also made a really big mistake when they came to take his Lord away. Because Peter, you know, you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. And if you're a gun-toting individual and you got it in your glove compartment, guess what? You might get to use it and maybe make the biggest mistake of your life. I don't think we think about those things. I just need protection, man. What's God? Oh, I don't think he knows. How can he protect me? Oh, wow. Oh, I think he knows and he can protect you. Peter took the sword out. And as they were grabbing his Lord, he went for the head. You want to take the head off. Back there, they were just like ISIS today. take the head off and you end the life. And it's the easiest thing. Man, horrible. But he missed and he cut the guy's ear off. He screams, the blood spewing out. Everybody's panicking. Peter's going, oh my gosh, I missed. Everybody's in a turmoil. Jesus just slowly walks over, picks up the ear, puts it back on the guy and says, it's all right. Everybody calm down. You know, there would have been four crosses on Calvary if Jesus didn't intervene in Peter's life when he blew it so bad. Aren't you glad that the Lord intervenes in our lives when we blow it so bad? He's a good father. He loves us. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And so Jehoshaphat did it the same thing. You know, the scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, and those things that the examples they went through, the things that they, you know, had to experience are for our learning, for our growth. We can learn from these experiences like Jehoshaphat's going through. So we can learn our lesson now and not have to go through compromising our relationships, compromising our business, and then have to learn the hard way, right? I mean, come on. We either go his way or we do our own thing, and that's danger, danger. So I would say he's being chastised, but it's lightly, because Jehu is saying, well, I know you did some good things. You took away the groves. You took away their sexual, you know, orgy areas and where they were having sex. You took away all the weird statues that they were worshiping. You removed those. God sees. God knows. You moved them out of the land. And then he says, and you have prepared thine heart to seek God. You are a seeker of God. And we already saw that early on in the other chapter. He sought the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto us. We just need to do it. And he really was into teaching God's word. Notice verse 4. And Jehoshaphat, and here is where we go into getting into some social ethics and behavior. I mean, he's really going to set up some things through the word of the Lord. Legal reforming, legal things are going to be laid down here. Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem. That's where he was. And he went out. And when he went out with the word of God. Like Wesley, he used to go out on his horse with the Bible and go city to city, just preaching the word, preaching the word. Going, going, going. So he went out through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, I mean, big territory, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. This is the third revival here now. This is the second one of Jehoshaphat, of a reform that he would set up. And the people are now coming back to the Lord. Spiritual renewal. Even though Jehoshaphat allowed Ahab to come into his life, there's still hope. People are getting right with God. That's a good thing, isn't it? That's what we want to see today, isn't it?
Well, there's still hope indeed. And next time, when our teacher, Pastor Jeff Johnson, returns, we'll learn more about this glorious hope. This is Sound Doctrine, and we're making our way through 2 Chronicles right now. If you enjoyed today's message, you can hear it again online at sounddoctrineradio.org and then share it with a friend. You can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5. Our phone number is 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. Well, you know, parenting sure is challenging these days, as if I had to tell you. But you know, God has all of the help we need in His Word. And today, we would like to offer you a very helpful four-part teaching series from Pastor Jeff on parent-child relationships. You will learn how to apply sound doctrine to your parenting as Pastor Jeff takes you through Ephesians chapter 6. It is available on a thumb drive or as a CD set, whichever you prefer. You can order online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call us. Again, that number is 800-353-7553. And please, would you remember us in your prayers and giving to the Lord? It does make a difference. We're constantly hearing of men and women that are growing and benefiting through the sound doctrine contained in God's Word. And you're helping to make that possible with a financial gift today. Again, visit sounddoctrineradio.org. We'll return to 2 Chronicles next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. It's a radio ministry presented by Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,